This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And today, we have singer-songwriter Sean Stemmeley. Today, we talk to Sean about how he earned his nickname, Sean Deere, from sharpening his singing skills in a tractor, how he thought he created the term Kentuckiana, and the story behind his new song, Hello You Up. But first, let's talk about this last weekend, Memorial Day weekend here in Denver. Me and E stayed here home in Denver, which is actually, it was nice. It was really nice to be back home. Got just as drunk as we did in Chicago and Nashville.
I got more drunk.
You got, yeah. But Friday night, played a gig here, Mile High Spirits. Shout out to Mile High Spirits.
I made my DJ debut.
We hit the confetti.
We switched places for 4 minutes.
A hell of a time. We had roughly close to probably 900 people, right?
Yeah, 800 to 900.
Yeah, 800 to 900 people came out throughout the night. And gosh, you know, we had like all of our meet and greets that didn't get tickets or anything. So I mean,
yeah,
we were
thanks
probably
to the listeners. Like, pay attention to our Instagram page. Go follow us at Behind the Rose Podcast. Every city we go to, we'll be giving away meet and greets.
Yep.
Including here every month in Denver. We'll mix it up and do something different every time.
Yeah.
And yeah, because it's really cool meeting the winners and listeners of the show.
It's always great, yeah, meeting listeners of our podcast. So thanks for coming out. Everybody who came out to meet and greet. And then also, everybody who came out to the show was incredible. It was amazing. Denver is back, baby. Denver is back. And honestly, back and better than ever. Stronger than ever, because that crowd was absolutely insane. We're putting together a little promo video, and I can't wait for that to drop, because that's going to be fun to see. That's going to be really fun to see. And what, Saturday night we went to
Grizzly Rose.
Eric danced. You guys, Eric was on the dance floor, two-stepping. What did you say? Two-stepping.
I just gave Seaforth a new song to write about, two-stepping in Yeezys.
Two-stepping in Yeezys. Guys, that might be the top five drunk I've seen Eric. And the other four were also at Grizzly Rose.
Well, number one was in San Diego.
You're right. Number one was probably in San Diego. But this was up there, man. This was up there. Seeing you out on that dance floor at one point, I was like, no. That was pretty cool to see. You need to get out there more often. We're going to teach you to dance.
Well, that's why I was telling one of our buddies, my goal by the end of the year is to grow a mullet, get some cowboy boots, learn how to dance, and then go out while like one of my good friends, like Low Cash or Michael Ray, whoever comes through like the Grizzly Rose, and I just steal the show right there in the front. And they're just like, stop playing music. You're like, who the fuck?
Is that Eric Bradley?
Is that Eric? Where'd this happen?
Spinning a dame around the floor. The mullet might be kind of hard, bro. You got that curly hair.
Oh yeah, but it gets curly if I grow it out.
Yeah. Well, why haven't you do it?
I don't know.
Don't get a haircut the rest of the year. So yeah, that was quite the night as well. And then Sunday we basically didn't do, well, we did go to Mile High again on Sunday.
Sunday fun day.
Yeah. A little, there. What was it? Hoedown. What did they call it?
Yeah. Hoedown throwdown.
Hoedown throwdown.
Yeah. We turned Mile High Spirits into a honky tonk.
Yeah, it was fun. Like line dancing, swing dancing. It was actually really fun.
Yeah.
And a really good turnout. Really good
turnout.
It's
really funny if, was it Copper Road?
Yeah.
That kept coming on. Or Cupid Shuffle comes on, Blake is back.
Guys, and I was so fucking tired, but as soon as that fucking Copperhead Road song comes on, I got to get out there and steal the show. I got to get out there and show. I was the only guy out there dancing. Everybody, all the rest was like 40 girls. You need to learn that line dance too. It's super easy.
Well, I can do the Cupid Shuffle. That's easy. That's
the Cupid Shuffle that tells you what to do in the song.
Yeah. To the left, to the right, yeah. To the right. Not hard.
Now kick. The Copperhead Road one, though, is fun too, and it's super easy.
Yeah. You get a little too into that.
Yeah, I get
I'm
way
waiting
too
for you to kick one of these ladies in the face.
I'm always sweating so bad after. I wake up sore the next day whenever I do that fucking dance. I wake up sore. I get into it.
That's when you take your Caliper CBD.
Hey-o. Shout out to Caliper. They'd pay a little extra for that. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we were both home in bed before dark.
Yeah, how to watch the Avalanche game. It's a great time in sports here in Denver other than the Rockies. So Avs looking good. Nuggets, yeah, hopefully they can pull it out.
No, me and Eric went to the Nuggets game last night, and wow. Best playoff game I've ever been to.
Best individual performance I've
ever
seen.
Best NBA game I've personally ever been to. But yeah, you're probably right. Like, that was an incredible performance by Dan. I mean, we still got the W, yeah. But...
I don't know how we got the W after blowing a 20-point lead, but...
Yeah.
Also, big week coming up. Bachelor at premiere. Katie. Ooh.
Excited about that.
It's going to be a lot of work for this show.
We got like four seasons back to back to back. Every Monday for the next 6 months is going to be long. But yeah, I'm excited. Excited for Katie's season. It's going to be a good one. Heard a lot of different things. Some twists and turns and drama. Saw the trailers. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting season, but yeah, I'm excited, man. It's been a long off season. So Katie's season, that premieres next month. It premieres Monday.
I never thought I'd say I'm in off season and it's over around the Bachelorette.
You know, we got a long off season. Now we don't get another one for a while.
Yeah, because we go straight from this into Paradise into another Bachelorette.
Into Bachelor.
Is there going to be a Bachelor? Because obviously you think that this is the last Bachelorette.
They haven't signed yet. It has not been.
Well, there's two seasons of dudes to pick from. So
we'll see. Tune in on Monday. We'll have our recap.
Yeah, Tuesday morning we'll be out.
Yeah, Tuesday morning we'll be out first thing. We'll give you all the deets on that episode. So
is there anything else? Any other kind of? We're not a big tea gossipy episode, but
a lot of people left for Paradise. I know that. Seeing who's gone to Paradise already.
You're still here, so I guess you're not going to the beach.
I ain't going. I tried to tell you all out there. I ain't going. But yeah, there's some interesting people going to Paradise. We'll just say that. That's going to be fun to recap because I am not going to hold back on that. I'm going to fucking...
What were your thoughts on Tyler, Matt, Rachel double dating in Montauk this weekend?
I think it's great. No, I'm happy. I do want people to realize we knew things behind the scenes when we were talking about Matt and Rachel. I already knew they were already fucking talking and hanging out, for the record. So when all you guys freaking coming at us saying we're a bunch of fucking assholes, we already knew they were talking at that point, guys. So yeah, I like Tyler's and I love this about him. He's completely fallen off, which I love. He's not fallen off. He's just separated himself from Bachelor Nation, which is great. Good for him.
Yeah, it's like he got in, got out.
Got in, made that bag, fucking got that bag, secured that bag, and got out.
And obviously, I come from that NFL world. He was an NFL player, yeah. Colt, NFL guy. It's it's just a different mindset. It's you're trained going into this a little bit more than...
Colton didn't get out. Colton got in, stayed in, still kind of in.
Kind of got out.
Tyler did the right thing.
Colton gave them the big F you every time he could.
No, yeah, that's very true. He did. But yeah, I'm excited. I think Matt and Rachel are gonna be great together. I really do. So
even if they don't last, shit, they gave him a shot. Let him live. Let him be happy. She's happy.
Yeah. So yeah, make sure you turn into our recap for Monday's episode, the premiere of Katie's season. But coming up, our conversation with Sean Stemmler behind the Rose. Thanks for joining us, Sean.
Thanks for having me, bro. Appreciate you.
Absolutely, man. Congrats, man. You're up and coming. I can't wait to hear you on the radio, man. It's going to come quick. Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see you at a show soon.
Hey, that's where we thrive, man. You know, the radio, I can wait, but the show, that's what I signed up for. So it's going to be good to get back to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just saying, you got anything kind of coming? Is there light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, for you?
Yeah. I mean, we start next weekend and then the rest of the year is pretty much shows again.
Hell yes, man. That's what we like to hear.
We're gonna start in my hometown at this big old marina bar, so right there on the river, so it'll be fun.
That'll be fun. Hometown show.
Yeah, it's always a shit show every time I go there. So
yeah, I bet. So where exactly are you from?
My mom is from Madisonville, Kentucky, and my dad is from a town called Newburgh in Indiana. So it's right outside of Evansville right there. So I grew up in the river bottoms in southern Indiana mainly, but pretty much my whole family lives in Kentucky.
Okay. All right.
That's why I always say Kentuckiana anytime somebody asks where I'm from, because, you know, split up parents, they can make things complicated. So
that's cool. I like that, though. I've never heard that, Kentuckiana.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was clever. I thought I made it up. My buddy was like, dude, you didn't make that up. I've heard it 1,000 times. And I Googled it And it was said like the Southern Indiana Kentucky border has been called Kentuckiana since 1850. I'm like, some clever ass dude back in the day done made it up.
So what was it like growing up down there, man? Like, what did, as far as like your musical influence and stuff, like when did you realize like growing up there, like, ooh, I like this music thing is like something I want to do, you know?
It wasn't something I wanted to do until I was probably like 22 years old.
Oh, wow. Really?
Like, I didn't even know that I could sing until I was about 19, almost 20.
Oh, wow.
I'd say. But I grew up on mostly rock. Both my parents are huge 80s rock people. My dad is like the biggest Van Halen fan you've ever met. Motley Crue, Ozzy Osbourne. My mom is a giant REO Speedwagon fan. Journey. She has a Steve Perry's belt, and I don't want to know how the hell she got it, honestly. Yeah. So my mom partied back in the day, apparently. But yeah, and then I grew up, you know, in my era. I was born in 94. So I remember saving up for like the Stained Break the Cycle album.
Wow.
All the Nickelback stuff, you know, Limp Bizkit, all that. So, and then I kind of discovered country on my own whenever I was like 15. Listen to it on my own. So I was listening to a lot of like Justin Moore, and then I discovered the older people, and then like Josh Thompson was the thing back then. And, you know, I kind of just figured it out by myself. And then whenever I was 19, I was growing up, like my whole entire life was tractors. That's all I ever did. My dad and my grandpa run an excavating company. Oh. And it's a big operation, like 56 machines, 15 dump trucks, 7 semis, and that's what I did my entire life before music. And I had a lot of alone time in the cab of a tractor. So
yeah, I bet.
One day whenever I was 19 years old, I was working a disc, and I started singing along to Brooks and Dunn songs on the radio, and I was like, damn, this like doesn't suck, you know, I mean, I don't know. And then I made a Vine account and started doing Vine a little bit. And
do it for the Vine.
Yeah, I was doing it for the Vine. 6 seconds. That was easy back then. All you got to do is 6 seconds. Now it's like you got to do a minute or 3 minutes. But
yeah.
Yeah, and then back then, I found this guy named Luke Combs on Vine. He had 5,000 followers at the time. He was just a big old dude with a ponytail back then. And he just had, I wanted to do what he did on the social media stuff. And I tried to, and I got made fun of so much in my hometown that I quit for a while. And my buddy, a couple of years down the road, my buddy Austin convinced me to start trying to write songs. And I was probably about 22. And then I moved to Nashville whenever I was 23.
So. Wow. That's interesting, man. Because like I love hearing everybody's like different stories. But I think that's the first one where you started way late. Like a lot of people, you know, when they're like young, 5, 6 years old, they kind of figure it out. Like, ooh, I can, like you said, like, ooh, I don't suck. But like at 19, man, and that's, I feel like at that age, you're risking a lot more. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you definitely like put your life on hold.
Absolutely.
Like chase a dream. Yeah, which is pretty cool. Yeah,
I mean, it's in my, like where I'm from, nobody does it. You know, it's like, it's not like it's like Georgia where you got mm-hmm. a bunch of musicians. And like anywhere in the South, I feel like, you know, every town has 2 or 3 cover bands or whatever. In my town, nobody does this. So it was different for everybody, and everybody doubted it and all that stuff. And, you know, I've always been like kind of an outsider. I've always just done my own thing. Like everybody had their cliques in high school, like the jocks and the preps. And I was always just Sean Deere. That's all I've ever been. And I'm glad that I have that mentality, because I probably wouldn't be here for that, honestly.
Dude, I was going to say, it takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of guts. So, I mean, just in general, it takes a lot of guts. Yeah, later in life, you know, 19, 20, 21, where you're kind of like, well, like, let's start over almost, you know, like, let's do something that I've never done before. So props, man, respect, because that takes a lot of guts.
Thank you.
So you talked about like your writing music and everything. Do you write like mostly write all your music? And if you do, like, what's your process when it comes to like writing your songs?
I mean, as of right now, the songs that are out, I've probably written half of them.
Okay.
But I got a thing where, you know, I know my history in country music. I study every artist that I look up to. I study everything they do. It's kind of like that Kobe mentality, you know, where you look at who you consider the GOAT and you just follow that.
Yeah.
You try to be the, like, as much of that as you can. And, you know, in my case, it was Brooks and Dunn, Alan Jackson, George Strait, you know, all those guys. And none of them wrote all their songs. They got the best song. That's how it works. And so my rule of thumb is the best song wins as long as I can go out and play it and mean it and be authentic about it. I'm not just going to cut a song just because it sounds cool. I don't cut songs unless I can mean every single word I'm singing, because whenever you're on a stage live, people can see that shit whenever you don't.
Amen.
And I've learned that the hard way, where, you know, we'll play certain songs that I thought sounded cool, and the audience don't react like they do whenever I wrote the song, or I cut the song that meant that to me. And I think, like, for example, as far as I know, that song that I got, I didn't even write that song. And I remember hearing it and I was like, holy shit. Like, this is exactly, I've been through this exact, like, every lyric in that song, weirdly, you would think I wrote it because I've been through that same exact situation, like, to the word, like Left Turn by the Big Church and all that stuff.
Oh shit. Like, literally word for word.
Yeah. Wow. That's what I'm talking about. Like, when I heard that song, I was like, wow, you know, I could have wrote this. So that's kind of my thing. You know, I write every single day, but some of my songs might be for other artists. Some might be for me. I just love writing songs and I just got a lot to say. So, mm-hmm.
So tell us about your new song, Hello You Up. I love, like, the storytelling in a song and in you know, like when artists kind of discuss things in, like, in a storyline aspect, and that is that, like, I love that song because of the storyline in it.
Yeah. Dude, Hello You Up, it was kind of a weird thing how that came about. I was on vacation. Only vacation I've taken in like 4 years, probably. And it was in the middle of the pandemic. We went to Tampa and I was on the beach and I was a little bit inebriated on tequila, you know, as you're saying, on the beach.
Expected.
And it was windy as hell that day. I got a text from my label president. He's like, dude, I got a song that you have to hear right now. We need to know if you want it right now. I'm like, dude, what? I'm like, I'm on vacation. And he's like, you have to hear it. And it was windy. I was like trying to listen to my phone. I could not hear it. And I put a beach towel over my head and put my headphones in. And I was just like laying like face down in the sand trying to hear this. And all I could hear was the chorus. And I was like, hell yeah, let's take it. And I didn't know who wrote it or anything. And it ended up being one of my best friends now, John Byron, who's signed to Big Loud as a writer now. And, you know, since then, me and him have written probably three songs that are going on my project, I'd say. And it's just like one of those things. That's the best thing I got out of that song, is a good friend. But
that's pretty cool.
I mean, that's how I got the song. You know, I it's another one of those things where I cut it. I was like, I've been through this, you know, and I'm sure everybody else has been through it too. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. When I listened to it too, like you said, it kind of like I could relate to the song,
yeah.
You know, I could like feel the lyrics and everything. Cause yeah, we've all probably been through something very similar to the old Hello You Up.
And I love tequila. So the tequila don't kill a pain line. It registers for me because I switched over to mainly tequila about a year and a half ago because I'm a bourbon guy and bourbon don't like, it doesn't like the whole like weight loss thing. So
not at all. No, I hear you. I'm a big tequila guy too. I switched tequila like probably 3 or 4 years ago. I switched tequila and haven't looked back. Like, no,
I can't do it.
Yeah, I've tried to get him to do the tequila thing, man.
Fucking hate it.
Definitely, you got to get adjusted to it, no doubt.
You do, yeah.
I think it's just like we drink so much shitty tequila when we're younger. That's like you don't have an appreciation for the good shit now. It all tastes the same to me.
Cheap tequila ain't nothing compared to cheap bourbon.
See, I've never had cheap bourbon. I'm not a big bourbon guy.
See, I'm a massive bourbon guy, but I went from bourbon to vodka for the weight loss thing because now I'm trying to be a skinny bitch. So
I love a good vodka Red Bull. That's my pre-show mix-up right there.
Yeah.
I kind of switched because I kind of get the best of both worlds. I take that rain energy.
Oh, you got to switch to Rowdy.
Rowdy. Yeah, we're doing Rowdy. Yeah, Rowdy.
Rowdy. Is that an energy drink?
Yeah, it's Kurt Busch.
Dude, I'm down to try that. Shoot.
Yeah, man, it's good. It's really good.
Like the NASCAR driver?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. It's really good. Just check it out.
Any of those good flavored energy drinks, mix that shit with Tito's, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Free sugar.
Hydrate, dehydrate at the same time.
Horrible for your arteries and all that. But
you die at a young age, but hell, it's worth it.
It's a lifestyle.
Before you play shows and
yeah. Do you have any other like interesting like I don't know traditions, if you will, or you know, like before you go on stage or before you do shows or anything? Do you have any like weird, funny things that you do?
I mean, gosh, dude, it's been so damn long since I've even played. So. I do that. We always do a pre-show shot. We do the prayer circle. And before that, I'm pretty much in the green room, like screaming and making weird noises. So I can warm my voice. That's about the weirdest thing. I sound like a dying hyena in there. Like I'd hate to be the person on the other side of the door.
What the hell's going on in there?
There's some National Geographic shit going on in the other room. Yeah. You know?
we've talked about quarantine a little bit. Do you think quarantine has helped you, you know, as a musician, like whether it be songwriting or whether it be, I don't know, you know, just certain things about your life? I'm sure you are, the F with quarantine, like, let me out there out of the gates kind of thing. Or do you think like quarantine was something good for you as far as your career?
I mean, the whole situation sucks, obviously, but yeah, it helps a lot. Whenever you're not busy on the road, it gives you more time to write and find out who the hell you actually are, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, like we talked about, I haven't been doing this for very long. And everybody's idea of the music industry is like a system. And that's really not the case whatsoever. The artists, you know, can they do whatever the hell they want. I mean, if you're an artist and you believe in something, you can fight for it. And that's mm-hmm. what I've discovered. I found myself way more during this pandemic thing as an artist. You know, I just pretty much dug back to my roots. I went home a lot and just thought about things. And I was like, this is always who I'll be. I just have a different job now. That's about the only difference. So I've been writing a lot about back home, and you know, the songs are way better now. And it's actually been a blessing, honestly, having this off time from the road. And now we can go play all these new, I mean, I bet I've written 150 songs.
Wow. Awesome. Hell yeah, man.
Now we can get back to it, and we have a clear understanding of what the hell we want to do and who we are, you know? So, mm-hmm. you know, the whole band likes the songs more. You know, I'm lucky enough to bring in one of my best friends from back home. I just hired him as my tour manager. So we're ready to get back to it with a new shit, man.
That's cool. I'm super excited because a lot of musicians have said the same as you. Like, it's been a blessing in disguise. So I'm so excited to see some of the music that's going to come out of quarantine, because people have had time to sit down and write. Because people don't understand how busy you are on the road. Like, it's not like people you're exhausted or you're playing. Like, there's one or the other. So it's hard to write on the road. And I don't think people realize that. So it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, what a lot of people don't understand about being an artist is most of us have artist development deals at pub companies, which means we're songwriters as well. So we'll go on the road Thursday to Sunday. We'll have Sunday evening. Sometimes it depends how long the drive back is, but we'll have Sunday evening to kind of just like reset. And then on Monday you're writing,
mm-hmm.
you're doing meetings. Tuesday you're writing, doing meetings. Wednesday writing, doing meetings. Thursday you leave. Yeah. I mean, there ain't no like weekends. I guess the shows are maybe like a weekend, but I mean, we're working the whole
time. You're working. Yeah. I mean, that's what people don't realize. So you're working. Like, it looks like they're having fun. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're working too, you know?
Yeah. A musician's Friday is a Monday. Yeah. That's why in Nashville, like, you go to Midtown and Monday is always popping. It's all those industry people, because we're on the road and all that stuff. So on Monday nights, we party a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a totally opposite universe from the normal world.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it is. It's very different than obviously like a normal 9-to-5, like what most people work in. But that's why it's so exciting. That's why that this industry is so fun and stuff. So
absolutely.
So I want to get into kind of what you got coming up next and some of your new music and everything. So we'll do that right after this. All right, man. So you talked about some of the 150 songs that you wrote or anything. Is there one, and I know you probably can't give away too much, but is there one that kind of sticks out to you that you're like really excited to kind of let other people listen to?
Dude, there's honestly a bunch of them. We've already recorded 6. We got one called If Heaven Had a Weekend. That's pretty good. We wrote it like based on my grandpa who passed. And there's Can't Be Me. There's Outskirts coming, Product of a Small Town.
This new music, is this more, because I love your background in like rock music and everything. So do these songs, and like, you know, I know some of your current songs have that, but they have the edge as far as like the rock in it and stuff. Because I love that in country music.
Way more.
Oh, good. I love that.
It's kind of like an early Al Dean type thing.
Okay.
So it's a balance of rock production mixed with country lyrics. And I've got the perfect producer for it, because he discovered Nickelback. He produced everything for Nickelback and wrote half the songs. And I'm just like, dude, people hate on Nickelback, but that shit.
I love Nickelback, man. My number one line on my Hinge profile says, and Nickelback is good. And like, I get so many replies from that.
Oh, yeah, they're good. I don't know why, like, where all that like negativity came from. And just like, I don't know if it's because Chad was a dick to Limp Bizkit or what. I don't know.
I don't know where it started either, but eventually it just kind of like caught on. Like, now it's just cool. Like, not like Nickelback, but like low key. They're really good. Yeah.
Crazy, dude. I don't get it. Like, you're talking about a rock band that had multiple number ones on pop radio. That just don't happen.
No. Yeah, great.
It don't happen.
And that producer you're talking about, is that Joey?
Joey, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's a savage.
Yes, he is. And always, that son of a bitch is not scared to tell you what he thinks.
Good. You need that on your corner, though. You need that on your side.
Yeah, honest people are always the best. Like, everybody's like, dude, you ever get offended? Like, whenever people are honest with you, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I would rather that than somebody be fake as shit to me.
Yeah.
And gosh damn, I don't want a producer that's like just sugarcoating everything.
Especially when it comes to your job. Yeah. Like your career. Yeah. Like you want. Yeah. Yeah.
There's enough co-signers out there.
Absolutely, dude.
Yeah. There's not enough real ones that'll just keep it 100.
Yeah.
Joey's one of those dudes who just will tell how it is, man. He don't give a fuck. I love him.
Great. Well, damn, I'm looking forward to that because that's the country I kind of like. I like the grittier, like rock type country. So I'm looking forward to that, man. Keep an eye out for that. Sir. Absolutely. Yeah. Are you coming to Denver at all? Do you know?
In the fall, we might to the Grizzly Rose or whatever.
Yeah. So our podcast is partnered with the Grizzly Rose. So we'll definitely see you there if we're in
town.
That's
been one of my bucket list venues for a while.
Yeah. Everyone has played there and started there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going out to like Wyoming and Montana and all that. So I don't see why we couldn't just route that in there.
Yeah, so it's not very far from like Laramie,
Yeah, or Cheyenne. It's an hour from Cheyenne.
Yeah, I'll talk to WME about maybe routing that out there. Maybe we can open for somebody out there. I don't know. But
yeah, let us know because we'd love to come out and see you. But is there any other stops on your tour that you're like super excited about? Like one that sticks out to you? Like you said, kind of a bucket list type venue.
All the festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so excited to play them last year. You know, I haven't played any of these festivals before, so. Yeah. Yeah. They were all on the schedule last year, and obviously that got shit on. So now we're moving to this year. We got like Faster Horses. That's always been a bucket list. Tortuga, Country Fest in Ohio. All that stuff is all bucket list shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, those Wyoming dates and stuff are cool too. They're with John Party.
Oh, that'll be pretty a fun one.
Like festival type things too. So it's like outdoors and those.
Yeah, I love festivals. I'm a big festival guy. So yeah, love festivals, especially country festivals, man.
Ooh, Faster Horses. Is that the one in Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard so many things about that one. I want to go to that one. That DJ Silver always tells us like that's his favorite festival to play.
Dude, Michigan in general is one of my favorite states to play in. Those people are nuts.
They are, man.
Crazy.
And they have some beautiful women in Michigan.
Jeez, man. They're everywhere, but yeah.
I mean,
they get bored a lot because it snows. They got a lot of time to do their makeup, so
there you go. That's one way to look at it.
See, those people, man, you bring them out to a concert and it's not like anything else.
Yeah, I've actually never been to a concert in Michigan, actually, so we're gonna have to, maybe we should go to Faster Horses, Eric.
Yeah,
find a way to go to that shit.
Me and Hardy played at the Grand Rapids, the intersection. And that place was nuts. I mean, I got my in-ears and they like cancel sound or whatever. And I could like, my ears were still ringing from the crowd.
Wow.
Through my in-ears.
Damn.
Dude, what in the hell is going on?
Where are we?
And then we made the mistake of going out and hanging out in the crowd whenever Hardy was playing. That was not a good idea. Because they were like, you want to rip shots, bud? You want to rip shots? There, bud. Hey. There's a bunch of Canadians that came down too. You know how those people, you know, Canadians, they love to party.
Well, I mean, their legal drinking age is 18. So yeah, they've been doing it for a while.
They've spilled more beer than I've drank. That's for damn sure. You know,
Canadians are the craziest sons of bitches, dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love
absolutely.
Them.
Yeah. Cool, man. So is there a date kind of you have in mind as far as like when some new music's going to drop, or is that kind of still in the works? I mean, I know you just, you know, you got Hello You Up. So everybody go listen to Hello You Up out there.
Yeah. I mean, I think in June, my Hicks tape song will come out.
Okay, cool.
So that's kind of the next thing. I mean, I know it's not like my project, but I'm super excited about that. I can't give away like the title or anything, but it's going to be in June, I believe.
Okay.
So that's going to be really cool.
And that's like next month. Like that's soon, actually. Yeah. I look at the calendar. Fuck.
Yeah, dude. The Hicks tape, all that stuff is freaking cool to me. You know, Joey, my producer, kind of gets the opportunity to redneckify his rock production. So it's, he just like Nickelback rednecks everything. It's really cool. So,
that's dope. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's going to be cool. And then after that, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be within the next month after that.
Yeah. Start pumping them out. Yeah.
We got a bunch of stuff recorded already. We're just kind of deciding how to put it out and what to put out.
Okay.
Like the sequence of things. So we'll see. Yeah. It'll definitely be within the next couple months.
Okay. Cool. So everybody, yeah, keep your eye out there for some new stuff from Sean. Go listen to Hello You Up. And yeah, where can people like follow you and find you on social media, all that fun stuff?
All my social media is just Sean Stanley. I'm the only one in the world. So it's pretty easy to,
I would say easy enough, man. Some people have these crazy fucking, I honestly have a weird handle and like everybody has got a weird handle. So yeah. Nice and simple. Go check out, go follow Sean Stemmeley. And yeah, man, appreciate you coming on. It's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank y'all for having me. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. We'll have you on again too, for sure. When some new stuff starts coming out and stuff. So,
and we'll see you out on the road.
Yeah. We'll definitely see you on the road. Yeah.
Hey, y'all just hit me up whenever you, whenever we're playing close and, you know, hang out with us backstage and all that shit.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all five of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.